This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
An example we have right now is that, you know, we're focused on some luxury watches. That's a pretty niche segment. So it's not a message that we want to put out there in a mass channel. And yet we know there are people, even in this kind of challenging time, that are still engaged in that market. So we've got a custom article on GQ's website that talks about how to buy a watch on eBay.
I am excited about one final value fee that includes payment processing and the final value fee. And I think that's clean and easy to figure when you're like estimating fees ahead of time. Like, is it profitable for me to buy this and then resell it? It just makes everything a little bit easier.
I've had one of my best months in years, and I'm really getting back into my old eBay routine where I'm digging through stuff in the barn and listing stuff I should have listed. And I tell you, that new tool, that send offer that Jordan talked about on a call I was on, that has completely changed my business.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 93. Welcome back to the co-host chair, Brian.
Thanks, Griff. It's good to be back. It's been a busy week.
Really? Have you been listing on eBay this week, finally?
Well, I was listing on eBay a couple weeks ago. I must admit, I didn't list anything over the long weekend, though.
Why not?
Well, I got this toy back that I was playing around
with. Oh, no, you didn't.
This old car, and so it took up a lot of the weekend time.
When are you going to get over that Jaguar?
It's actually technically not even mine. It's my wife Nancy's, but
community property.
It's not actually. When she inherited it from her father, it's in her name. She's smart.
Oh, dear. And it's a 1954 Jaguar.
It is.
And you've had it restored.
No, all I've done is got it running. Her father took impeccable care of it. So it has the original paint, the original engine. It needed some work around brakes and gas tanks and things like that. So we got all that stuff done so it's drivable.
I can't wait till you sell it.
It'll be Nancy selling it. I may get tired of it at some point.
I'm very happy you have a car that's as old as I am. And hopefully it's in better shape.
Well, you know, the one thing, the paint job does have wrinkles, just like my face got wrinkles
okay,
as I got older.
I'm going to stop you right there. Well, no, all kidding aside, I think it's fantastic. You have a brand new little toy car that you can drive all around the Bay Area. Hey, and you know, yes, one of the few benefits of the pandemic is that for most metro areas, Bay Area is included. Traffic on the freeways has been really light in the last couple months.
It has been really light.
Yeah, I know. I've been on the roads once a week, but it's just the literal roadways where the traffic is light. On eBay, traffic's been pretty heavy these past several weeks.
It has been, and that's been a really good thing for our sellers.
Yes, it is. But as the world starts to move back to something that it, at the least, resembles normal, and stores and shops, you know, they start opening up, even if at first just for curbside delivery, it will be important to keep the buyer traffic on eBay humming and growing throughout the rest of the year and beyond.
That's true. And that's why this month on the podcast, it's officially Traffic Month. Hmm. For the month of June, we'll feature a segment each week on an aspect of buyer traffic, something Yay. Our sellers love. This week, we start with what is eBay doing to keep buyer traffic healthy and growing when our first guest, Andrea Stairs from marketing, joins us from her home to talk about how eBay drives buyer traffic to the site. And following up on last week's top line managed payments Q&A with Nidhi Gupta, eBay seller Sherry Smith will talk about her experience as a seller using managed payments.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
It
and
is.
Finally, because this is, again, another chock-a-block show, seller Lynn Drawley, we all know Lynn, the queen of auctions, calls in to update us on how her business is faring as the closures in her area continue. You know, she's got a consignment business, which is a stop-in shop. So we're going to find out how she's adapting her business.
That'll be really
interesting. Lots to talk about.
There is lots to talk about. So we better get started then.
The month of June at eBay is traffic month. And that means all types of traffic and getting it in all types of ways. Right now, we have the mastermind behind the traffic campaign with us. Welcome back to the podcast, Liz Austin.
Hi, Griff. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you're well at home.
I am. Happy it's Friday. Looking forward to a weekend of staying at home.
I'm sure that outside your home, you've noticed a drop in traffic during the pandemic. But here at eBay, as you know, we've seen a refreshing increase in buyer traffic. Tell us what we're focusing on for the month of June when it comes to talking to our sellers, both on the podcast and in other channels.
Well, I think you make a good point. It's important to define the difference between car traffic,
yes,
beep, beep, and buyer traffic on eBay, which is what we're going to talk about for the month of June. So buyer traffic is obviously all of those people, consumers, who come to the site either looking for something, have an intent to purchase, or are coming to the site to browse and search for something that they might be interested in. And Traffic Month is all about explaining how eBay brings that traffic to the site, so what we do, and then also what sellers can do to show up to that traffic, but also help drive incremental traffic to their listings on eBay.
It's kind of a partnership then. I mean, eBay does spend a lot of money and time driving traffic to the site, but sellers can play a part.
Absolutely. And, you know, even though we have over 170 million buyers on the platform, and we work every day to bring in new and return buyers, there are other ways off eBay that we can grab the interest of a potential buyer and get them to eBay. And that's what we're going to spend the month talking about. It's a really interesting topic. We have a number of different strategies that we use and have evolved over time. It's certainly something I'm passionate about. And we look forward to talking about all of the tactics that we use. So across the 4 weeks, we're going to talk about all of those things that eBay does to drive traffic or buyers to the site. And then week two, we're going to talk about eBay's investment in Google Shopping and how it pays off for sellers, and also how sellers can optimize their listings to ensure they show up on Google Shopping. Week three, we're going to talk about social media marketing, both what eBay does and what sellers can be doing themselves. And even lately, social media marketing has taken an incredibly interesting turn as a result of the pandemic. And I'm excited to have our wider team talk about some examples of ways that sellers can tell their own story in really interesting and compelling ways to buyers, to incentivize them and to inspire them to come to eBay and purchase their item. And then week four, we're going to give you the scoop on the eBay Partner Network, which is affiliate marketing, which is another really great way to drive incremental traffic to your listings, but also make money, extra money at the same time. So we're going to talk about that a bit more, how eBay sellers can partake and participate in affiliate marketing through the eBay Partner Network, and also explain how that can make them extra money. And then week five, we are going to be answering questions. So what we imagine is a lot of questions will come up as a result of Traffic Month and everything that we've talked about. And we want to hear those questions and we want to answer them. So we're opening up a special board on community. Griff, you can take questions into the podcast and let's spend a week talking about it and helping us all understand traffic a bit more and each of our roles in driving traffic to your listings.
Before we go, can we have a little update about the Seller Stories program that we're doing, the contest for 25 stories for 25 years? How is that going so far?
It has been amazing, Griff. And I know we were just talking before the recording, how am I ever going to read all of these stories? But I'm so excited. And we're thousands upon thousands of stories sellers have submitted, and we're going to read them all and get the detail from the sellers. And if we think your story is awesome or, you know, meets the criteria, all the stories are going to be awesome. But we have 25 stories for 25 years and we can't wait to share those with you.
It doesn't sound like you're suffering a shortage of stories to choose from.
We're going to tell them from June until the end of the year. So be sure to keep an eye out for those. We'll be telling them on the podcast. We'll be telling them through YouTube. We'll be telling them on social. We'll be writing blogs about them. And we can't wait to use different types of media to tell these stories as well.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. And we'll talk to you again in the weeks ahead to find out how the stories are going and also how Traffic Month is going as well.
Thanks for having me, Griff.
Liz Austin is the Senior Manager for Seller Marketing and Engagement. This month of June is officially the traffic month at eBay, and over the next 4 weeks, we'll be hosting segments that help illuminate how eBay and sellers together drive buyer traffic to the site. And today for our first week, I'm joined by our Head of Marketing America, Andrea Stairs. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi, Griff. Nice to be here.
Could you give us an outline of your role as head of marketing as it relates to driving traffic on the site?
Sure. I have been with eBay for 14 and a half years, and I've stepped into the marketing role recently, but it's definitely one that is critical, obviously. And so we are focused on driving traffic to the site through paid channels. So whether that's search marketing, display, radio, and then we're also focused on converting that traffic when it comes to the site. So having a homepage that is relevant and engaging, sending out emails that drive traffic back to the site and convert, and any number of other channels. So it's both paid and owned channels.
Do we want all buyers, or do we actually target certain buyers who we know will want what we offer on the site?
Yeah, so it's not all about just driving traffic, bulk traffic. It's definitely about driving buyers that we want or people that we think will convert into buyers. And so we think about buyers in different chunks or segments. We look at pre-buyers. These are people who haven't activated on the site, but we think are very similar to folks that we know are active on eBay. They're engaged in the right verticals, or they're interested in the right inventory. So we will have activities directed to them. Then we have our active buyers, people who are engaging consistently with eBay. And for them, it's about extending their interest in eBay to new categories. It's about continuing to engage them. And then we also have folks who are engaging maybe a little less than we would like, and sort of looking like they might kind of migrate away. And so for them, it's about re-engaging them, bringing them back, giving them a good offer that entices them to come back to eBay. So different segments get treated differently.
Relevancy. I'm not exactly sure what that means in terms of marketing. Can you define what we mean by that term, relevancy?
Absolutely. So it's really about making a very close connection with the messages that we are putting out there from a marketing perspective and the needs of the buyer. So we want that to be really matched up so that there is relevance, because we know that people's attention spans are super short, and we need to catch them as soon as we see them or as soon as we put a message in front of them. And so making sure that that message is relevant to who they are, the place they're in, the moment they're in, where they are in a purchase cycle, where they are in terms of life stage, are they a parent, are they not? All of that information is super helpful at making sure that the marketing content that we're giving is the most relevant, the most connected to the needs of that particular buyer. An example we have right now is that, you know, we're focused on luxury watches. That's a pretty niche segment. So it's not a message that we want to put out there in a mass channel. And yet we know there are people, even in this kind of challenging time, that are still engaged in that market. So we've got a custom article on GQ's website that talks about how to buy a watch on eBay. That's a way of delivering a message that is relevant to a targeted group of buyers and not sort of spamming everybody with that content.
Right. So television ad about high-end luxury watches, which would go to the entire TV viewing public, probably doesn't make sense, money-wise at least.
Right. It doesn't make sense. TV is a great option if you have a very broad message that you want to convey. You're launching a new product, you're building a brand. But if you're trying to say something really specific to a specific group of people, it's less useful. That's why at this moment, we're much more focused on digital channels, because we can target those better. And so we can connect, again, the messaging and the marketing with the end buyers much more closely. And then the other good thing about digital, in sort of contrast to TV, is that we can measure. So we can create a loop of messages going out and data coming back in, which allows us to optimize or sort of change advertising in a way that traditional media like TV and radio are less able to do.
How do we know what's going to be relevant to a certain buyer?
It's a trick, but the great news about eBay is that we have a tremendous amount of data. And so we use our data that we have on site, what buyers are looking at, what items have velocity, what people are searching for. And we marry that with market level data. So for example, right now, Forbes is telling us that e-commerce transactions are up more than 100% year over year in Canada and the US. We know both from what we're seeing on the site and what market level data is telling us is that we're seeing a rise in e-commerce. And so then that tells us, well, we've got a bunch of new people coming to the site who are looking for goods that are relevant right now. So let's make sure that we're putting that in front of them. It's about targeting. It's about being relevant. So if you come to the homepage right now, you'll see a banner that says home base for home essentials. And that's really about surfacing the kind of inventory that people who are now working from home and who are sheltering in place and kind of not going out to traditional retail are looking for, whether it's, you know, home office, home gym, boredom busters, that kind of thing.
I have to say, personally, I do get a little irritated when I see ads on television that aren't relevant to me. For example, certain drugs that don't relate to my own health problems. Of course, that list of health problems increases as you get older. So maybe relevancy is just on the horizon for me. But I am looking forward to the day when all television ads are relevant to me. And I suppose that day is coming.
I think it is. And in the meantime, you know, we are looking at still using video, but using digital video, because then again, we can target it more and make sure again that we are being relevant, which then in turn means that the traffic that is coming to the site that we're driving understands why it's coming to eBay, has an expectation that we can deliver against when it arrives. So maybe putting a bit of a pause on kind of broadcast like TV and really focusing on the digital channels gives us a bit more of an ability to enhance the conversion or make sure that that traffic yields something for our sellers.
We use that term a lot, digital channels, for example. Tell us a little bit more about what we mean by digital advertising strategies and what channels are available and how do we approach it when it comes to a digital advertising strategy?
Absolutely. And you know, Griff, the world has changed, right? We've added on additional digital channels. So it's a bigger and bigger every year set of channels. The biggest one, the sort of the granddaddy of them all, is search engine marketing, so SEM. So that's buying keywords and putting products onto search engines like Google and Bing and others. That is a significant area of investment for us and drives a tremendous amount of traffic. And it's really intention traffic. If you search for something on Google, you know what you're looking for. And then if we serve up an eBay ad, that has a high propensity to convert. Other digital channels, digital banners, so the traditional banners we see, we've got great partnerships with Verizon and Yahoo and Apple, and so we use them a lot. YouTube advertising, so this is, again, using keywords to, rather than drive static content, now to drive to video content. Radio, particularly digital radio, is a new but really effective channel for us. And then social, paid social, whether that's Facebook or Instagram, where we can either retarget. So you've been to eBay, we know that you were interested in something, and then we'll show you that again when you're in Facebook. Or we can tell stories at kind of a more strategic level. The up and running campaign right now being a really great example.
I think if you're a seller and you're wondering what digital marketing looks like when it's specific to channels, if you've shown interest in a particular product and then you've gone on to Facebook or other sites, you'll find that those ads more and more every day are tailored to around what you just looked at. And that's an example of what eBay does.
Griff, we don't want to be creepy, but we also know that if you've indicated an interest in something, the odds that you're going to then want to follow through on that are much higher than us showing you a product that you've indicated no interest in. And so, yes, it absolutely is about taking the data that you have given to us via behavior or a buyer has given to us via behavior and then reusing that off of eBay to continue the conversation with that buyer.
Yeah, and as a buyer, I got to tell you, I don't mind it at all.
It can be really effective.
Oh, it's very effective. My wallet is proof. The more effective the campaign, the more I'm going to buy. And that works in for the marketplace, for the retail seller, or for sellers on eBay as well. Talking about spend, can you give us an example of how much we invest in paid media on behalf of our sellers? And I know it's sometimes you can't give exact figures, but I think a ballpark figure would be pretty revealing to our seller audience.
Yeah. So from a ballpark perspective, we spend tens of millions of dollars on performance marketing every month. So I think that gives you the order of magnitude and the kind of investment intensity that we spend on marketing.
Yeah.
It's significant.
And sellers know about Google and they're always asking us about that and what we pay for on there. And you briefly touched on it as a channel, but what do we do to ensure eBay shows up at the top of the search engines? I know in the past on the podcast, we've talked about how you show up in shopping, but what about Google in general?
Yeah. So when we think about Google, I think of three kind of areas. You've got the center of the search results page, the natural search, or what we call SEO. That's free. But definitely we have teams devoted to ensuring that notwithstanding it's free, we're still working to be at the top of that results set. And that's where, you know, sellers' behavior and what sellers add to their listings can be really impactful. And I'm sure you've talked about that before on the podcast, Griff. I think the other two areas are the paid areas. So the top, you'll generally see text ads, and they usually have a little ad in a green box. And those are based on keywords. And so we have about 250 million active keywords. That means keywords that we're bidding on in the US, which is not inconsequential. That's pretty significant. And then right-hand side, you'll see PLA or product listing ads. And that's where you see the actual product items. And there we're managing a feed of about 700 million items that we're feeding into Google that are part of that advertising. So a tremendous amount of investment happening on Google to ensure that we've got the right coverage on the page, whether it's the free or the paid areas. And certainly what sellers do can be really impactful. Having the right content for SEO, making sure that item specifics are there, having images that Google can accept, all of that is really critical to our being able, on behalf of sellers, to invest in Google.
Yeah. Andrea, what about channels that we own? I mean, like email and on eBay.com. These are huge channels. They get millions and millions of eyeballs. How do we leverage those in our marketing strategy?
They're core to our marketing strategy. Organic traffic, so that's traffic that we haven't paid for, is a massive flow of traffic to the site. We need to make sure that when it lands on the site, we're engaging with that traffic, that we're again connecting potential buyers with sellers' inventory in the most efficient way possible. The homepage is actively managed. Email is a tremendous channel for us. You'll maybe be shocked to know that we send six, I'm checking my notes to make sure I get this number right, on average, 650 million emails a week. And that runs the gamut from emails that are talking about bigger ideas, a sales event, a retail moment like Memorial Day or July 4th, all the way down to really specific emails like purchase assistant. You've added something to a cart and you've left. We want to remind you that it's in the cart and again, get you to try and convert. Huge amount of investment on our own channels. And we've got new channels there too. We're adding SMS. Push notifications, so notifications on your mobile phone, which drive a lot of engagement. And as people's behaviors change, you know, those own channels need to keep up and we need to develop new ones that continue to engage buyers.
And I should note here for those who may be concerned that a receiver of those emails, buyer or seller, has some control over the type of emails they receive. If you're getting emails that you don't believe are relevant to your particular activity on eBay, you can always change those configurations so you get the emails that you like.
Yeah. And we pay attention. We want to make sure that what we're sending is relevant. And so if we are starting to see people not engage in something, we'll take a look at that and go back to the drawing boards. It really isn't about sending lots of emails. It's about sending the right emails with the right content to the right people.
Is marketing an art or a science? What do you think?
I mean, I think that's probably an age-old question. I'm going to cop out and say it's both. Clearly, the way that we do it at eBay, it's very scientific. We use a lot of data. But I think when you're also trying to tell a story and create a narrative and create an emotional relationship with buyers out there, you need to have the art as well. So I'm going to be solidly on the fence and say it's both.
I think that's a good position to be in. Andrea, thanks so much. Next week, we're going to be talking more about Google Shopping and how sellers can leverage this opportunity. So stay tuned for that. Last week, we spoke with Niti Gupta from the eBay Managed Payments team, and Niti answered top line questions about managed payments. Joining us now is eBay seller Sherry Smith. She sells on eBay under the ID Sherry_sells, Sharri_sells. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi.
How has life and business been in your new location in Denver?
Actually, business has been great. I mean, I moved here 2 years ago from California and I sell in consignment. So I left behind most of my consigners, but I've been networking and making new relationships and things are going really well.
How long have you been selling on eBay?
Okay, I've been selling on eBay since February 2006.
And how long have you been inside the managed payments program as a managed payment seller?
I have been in it since the beginning. Oh. So I think it's been since October 2018 or September.
Wow, that's a long time. So you've seen it since its very first days.
Yes.
Tell us the five things about managed payment that you like.
Okay. Well, I do love that buyers can just pay however they're used to paying. People all have their regular way they're used to. So they could pay with Apple Pay, Google Pay, PayPal, credit card, debit card. So I like that because I did used to get buyers, especially when it was a buyer buying commercial restaurant equipment from me, because I sell that sometimes, where they said, I don't want to have to set up a PayPal account. So it seemed like that was a little bit of a hurdle for some of the businesses or sometimes when it was a government purchase.
Yeah, they'd have to have an account in order to pay on eBay. And now they don't have to just use PayPal.
Yeah. And so I like that there's that flexibility. I feel like it brings in a lot more different kinds of buyers. So there's not a hurdle there.
Okay. Well, that's your first thing you like.
Yes. Number two, my favorite thing is that I have it opted into the default where I get a payout every day if there's something to pay out. And that actually consolidates a bunch of transactions. And where I noticed that is when I'm doing my QuickBooks and I do have to confess and reveal that sometimes I do almost a year of QuickBooks at the end of the year.
Me too.
Oh, good. Okay.
You're not alone.
Okay. A few years ago, I was doing that. I was downloading from PayPal into QuickBooks, and like somewhere around halfway through, I reached my maximum amount of transactions that you can have in QuickBooks.
Wow.
It was a little bit of a disaster. I had to start a new company file, and because it was a mess, it was like some of it went in, some of it didn't. So anyway, what I really like is when I did my QuickBooks after that first year of using managed payments, I swear it took me a week less to do a year's worth of accounting, because you're doing one, reconciling one transaction for maybe 22 purchases.
Right. Because you, every day, instead of doing every transaction, it was a consolidation by day based on the payout schedule.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. How does that work with reports? So for example, eBay's new download reports in Seller Hub, do you use that at all? Or do you go directly to QuickBooks?
Actually, I use some of the report, and I like that, to have it as a duplicate. And it also gives me a reality check. Yeah, QuickBooks said I made this, and then eBay showing this. So it sounds like that's about what I'm making. So I use QuickBooks really mostly for my accountant and just have a feel for if I'm making any money, if I'm spinning my wheel.
Yes, it's nice to know if you're making a profit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know what I need to be making. So it's a little bit of a reality check, like, no wonder I'm scrounging around.
Yeah, that can happen if you're not paying attention. What's another thing or a third thing that you like about managed payments?
The number three thing is the payments tab. I like that. In Seller Hub. And what I really like about that is, speaking of scrounging around, I'll know how much money I need to pay my consigners, pay my bills, and I can look in my bank account and see what's there. Then I go to the payments tab and I see what was the last payment that shows on my bank account, what's pending and what's coming. And then I know how much money I have. So I know it sounds simplistic,
but I can
it works.
Yeah, I can understand how that would be a very good thing. What else is displayed in the payments tab besides that information?
What's displayed is under payouts. I can then see how many transactions that payout was for, and I can click on the number of transactions and see the detail of all of that.
You can break down the single payout to all the transactions for that day.
Yes. So I do look at that kind of detail.
How do you pay for eBay shipping labels?
It's always been set up for me to use PayPal.
Yeah.
And then I saw the option that I could have it come out of my pending payments or pending funds. So I opted for that. And I like that.
Do you have one day handling?
Yes, I do.
Is there ever a time where you don't have the funds in managed payment pending to actually pay for a shipping label?
Yeah. And then I have to click, okay, take it from PayPal. So my question is, so when people have managed payments, do they still have to have a PayPal account? Or maybe they set up a credit card?
So that's an interesting question. I'll take back to Needy. But you're saying when you have no funds pending and you need to print a label, that it's taking you to PayPal to pay for the label.
Yep. I have to click, take the funds from PayPal. So it's like an extra little step.
Well, that's interesting. I'll keep that in mind, because I'm going to jump into this. So we'll see how that works. I know a lot of sellers don't do daily payouts. They opt for weekly payouts.
Must be nice. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, however you do it, it's nice to know that you can still pay for labels if there's no pending funds. So that's good to know. We stopped at number three. What's number four?
Okay. So here is the next two are things that I haven't experienced yet, because this is what eBay's going to have for all the people as they start using it. But I love it and I'm excited about these. So one of the ones I'm super excited about is that eBay is going to deduct the final value fee at the time of the sale.
Oh, me too. I love fee netting. I love that.
Oh my gosh. And we're not alone, because I posted that somewhere and this gal on Facebook was like, oh, thank God, I won't have to have like a heart attack at the end of each month. I'm like, it's not just me.
Well, no, and it's interesting because it's been the way of eBay's done business since the day Pierre started the site. And I think a lot of sellers have just become habituated to it. But it's actually alien to every other online marketplace or anywhere else where you might sell regardless, where if the website takes its share the minute the sale's made. What we've always done is, well, here's all your money. And then a month later said, now give us some money back. And that just doesn't make sense. So yeah, that's the thing I like, really. One of my favorite things about it is it allows for fee netting. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
And what's the other thing that you're looking forward to?
I am excited about that it's going to have one final value fee that includes payment processing and the final value fee. And I think that's clean and easy to figure when you're like estimating fees ahead of time. Like, is it profitable for me to buy this and then resell it?
Yeah.
It just makes everything a little bit easier.
I agree too. I love the idea of one fee. And in some of the examples on the website, it shows that the majority of sellers should be seeing lower fees over time rather than higher fees. There will be some outlier sellers who may see their fees increase incrementally a little bit. But for the majority of eBay sellers, they should actually see a savings with this system. So
that's great.
In comparison to PayPal, that's the benchmark. So those are your five things that you like. Now, is there anything about the managed payments program that you would like that team to know about where you might have some suggestions for improvements or things to be added or changed or edited? Or
I really like it a lot. So I always want to make like have an answer for something. But when I racked my brain for something like they could improve, I would just say one thing I was going to say was about the shipping labels. Having to have a backup funding, but you kind of answered that I could have my payouts weekly and then I'll have funds in there.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about that last week with Needy, but I think the assurance was that you'll always have some way of paying for labels if there are no pending funds in your managed payment payout account so that you won't be stuck with no money to buy a label, which would be terrible, really. I mean,
that's awesome. And my only other things to improve that I could scrounge up in my mind was, and I don't really know that there's a solution to this. Mm. I have figured out that it sometimes takes like a week, even though I have daily payouts from the time that something has sold to when the money's in my account. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes less time, maybe 3 or 4 days, because there's just a time where eBay's processing it. And when I was using PayPal, there were times where I'm like, yep, got money. Now I can buy this with my debit card.
Sure.
Yeah. Or I had access to it like the minute it was in there and I like needed it, the access to it. So just some way to have access to it sooner if it takes that long to get to your bank account would be the only other thing.
That's a very good suggestion. I'll make sure the managed payment team hears it. They probably already have heard it because I know they listen to the podcast. Well, Sherry, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and taking time to talk to us about your experience with managed payments.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Sherry Smith. She's a seller on eBay, a longtime seller, and she's in the managed payment program. She has been since the beginning, and as you can hear from her, there's nothing to fear about managed payments. So when you get your invitation, make sure you register as soon as possible.
Every week, we're checking in with sellers. This week, we have an old friend of the podcast and of eBay Radio and of sellers across America, if not across the world, our good friend, Lynn Drawley, the queen of auctions. Hi, Lynn.
Woo! Hi, Griff.
All right. I already know you sound like you're doing okay.
we're doing great.
I think we spoke about a month or six weeks ago about how you've had to adapt your business to a curbside pickup for the consignment store. How have things changed since we've last talked to you?
They haven't changed that much. We're still doing the online orders. We're delivering them or they can pick up. It's definitely hurt our business though.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of store you need to come in, walk around, shop. We've been doing a few by appointments, but it's a lot of work. You run down there, meet somebody, they'll look around for an hour and they just really want to get out of the house. And, you know, they're not serious shoppers. We've kind of cut back on that because my time is so much better spent on eBay right now because eBay is rocking and rolling.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Oh, Griff, I've had one of my best months in years. eBay's where it's at. And I'm really getting back into my old eBay routine where I'm digging through stuff in the barn and listing stuff I should have listed. And I tell you, that new tool, that send offer that Jordan talked about on a call I was on, that has completely changed my business.
Yeah, you're not the only seller who said that. I know that a lot of sellers have really taken advantage of that as an option. I know as a buyer, I love it. I end up spending more money.
Yeah, it's been incredible. When I first looked at it, I had 2,800 items I could send offers on because I'd never used it.
Wow.
I started sending 100 a day, 200 a day. Pretty soon we were shipping 20, 30 items every day because it really works. And now I end every day with none to send because I check it. I check it like obsessively. Like this morning I had 50 to send. Usually it's about 50 every day. And that's the first thing I do because boy, does that drive your business.
So that's part of your strategy then. You start your day off sending offers.
Absolutely. And then on days that I'm not going to ship, like it's a Saturday, Sunday, I kind of wait till Sunday afternoon to send them. And that way we get all our shipping on the same days. Although a lot of people are shopping on Sundays. So it varies, but I do love that feature so much because not only does it get the people that are watching it to make offers, I get other buyers. For some reason, it must bring it up higher in the search because other buyers are making offers that are much higher than the ones I sent.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just such a great tool. And I use that in addition to my promotions, which is Markdown Manager. Yeah. And I always run the 10% off anything over $50. So I've got all these different things going on that really creates the perfect storm. And I'm selling stuff from 2014, 2015. It's amazing.
That is very good news. Now, I know we talked in the past that you are by format. You like auctions. You like fixed price. Has that strategy changed? And if so, how does that work for you?
Nope, still doing it. Always, always, always at auction first because you never know when you're going to have a bingo, a runner. You know what I mean? Something that's worth a lot of money. So always auction first and then definitely right into fixed price as fast as you can.
And that works. Yes,
and always add that best offer. And it's been working for, oh my God, I hate to say this, like 21 years. 22 years. Oh my God.
Time does fly when you're having a good time on eBay.
That is crazy, Griff. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Now, one of the hardest things for any business owner, including an eBay seller, to do at this period of time is to plan ahead. And smart business always involves planning for the next season, for the next month, for the next year. Have you been able to plan your business out through and hopefully beyond our current pandemic?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to keep it, you know, what I'm doing. I'm listing. I think the key is always to list new, fresh, interesting things. And I love how Jordan and Jamie are so behind unique one-of-a-kind sellers again and really want eBay to go back to what it was and not be Amazon. And just having them at the helm, really pushing that, it's just so refreshing for me. And it's really, really spurred me to put more of my energy into eBay. And it's definitely paying off. I am getting so used to sitting at home and listing. I don't really even like to go anywhere anymore.
You and I both.
I know. Right. You know, and the eBay lifestyle is so cool. And I've missed it because for 2 years I've had to go into a store every day.
Yeah.
And now to be able to step back and go back to my old lifestyle, which was getting a little stagnant and boring, I have to say, after so many years, not having a store. But God, it's so nice. It really is.
Okay. When this thing lifts, does that mean you're not going back into the store?
I don't know. One of my employees said she'd be the store manager for me. And I'm like, I might never come back.
See? Where's the owner? Oh, no one's seen her in years.
I am definitely going to cut back my days in the store.
Yeah.
Right now, I've been going in about 4 days a week and then working from home the other three. And I think I'm going to cut it back to 3 days, 2 to 3 days. I don't need to be there all day.
Yeah. Well, that happens. I think as you get older, you start valuing your time, right? So there's that.
Yes. And you know, I have both my kids home from college and my son's girlfriend staying with us. So it's like, this is a fun house.
And you keep them busy.
Oh, they're busy. My son is still teaching school because he's getting his master's at Notre Dame. So he is teaching high school to the kids in Oklahoma City, but it's all by Zoom. And my daughter is just got out of Pepperdine's spring semester and she's starting summer semester Monday. So they're busy, super busy.
What about sourcing? You said you're having fun listing, but is it proving to be a bit difficult finding sources? Again, remember, we never ask a seller exactly where they get their merchandise.
Okay.
That would be wrong. But how has sourcing changed for you since this?
I used to love to go to thrift stores and I was going to Palm Springs once a month, my favorite place to pick. Yeah. And of course that has dried up. But Griff, you know, my grandma had an antique store for 52 years. So I still have probably 50 huge boxes in my barn behind my house of stuff from her store. We've been digging through them and my gal that does my shipping and writes stuff up for me, I give her a box, she writes it up. I'm listing such unique, unusual things. And it's so fun for me. I found this really cool Majolica vase. It had two handles, so like a loving cup. And the price tag was written $12.50 for my grandma's store in my like middle school writing. That's how long we've had this thing.
Well, I won't bring up the number of years. That would be unkind, but that's a long time ago.
It is, but you know, it warms my heart. Back in the old day, we couldn't look stuff up. I mean, we had Schroeder's and Warman's and Covell's and all those reference books. But today I put in Google Majolica Japan Loving Cup. And guess what? I found the maker and it's a very good rare maker. I got it listed. I'd love to share the listing number with you.
Yes, please. I'll look it up while you're talking. And
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening to the podcast right now from more than 90 days ago, you might not find this, but let's look it up.
I've also been sourcing furniture on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace because then I can pull it in and I get some of my girls are coming in and painting stuff while we're closed, which has been another great thing.
Well, now this brings up a question. If you're sourcing from marketplaces like that, that involves having to pick up or meet people. Do you maintain a strict social distancing, wearing masks when you go to pick up this furniture or when it's delivered?
Yeah, the only way I'll buy it, Griff, is if they will deliver it. I am not about to go out and pick stuff up. And they bring it with my back garage door. I'll open it up halfway. They drop it off. I've paid them by PayPal or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're good to go.
I just had this vision of you hanging out of a window, dropping cash, saying, just leave it there. Okay, drive away. There's your cash.
No, I mean, it's been really fun, too, because like the stuff that people buy, same thing, man. You know, it's we put it in a bag outside and they drive up. And the beautiful thing, too, about my store is it's so big that, I mean, we have 4,000 square feet. We really should be able to be open and social distance because I think that you could probably house, I don't know, 20 people in there safely. I'm just praying that they start letting us open up soon. So
I think they will. Fingers crossed. And by the way, for those of you who are listening and you haven't heard our Lynn on our show before, her store is in Ventura, California. It's just outside of downtown, if I remember correctly.
Yep. It's in Midtown on Main Street. Super cute town. God, Ventura is amazing. Love the people here. Love the town. Okay. So the auction just ended, but I'll give you the auction ID.
Please.
If you're ready. Okay. 402. 248.
We haven't done this since eBay Radio.
I know, it's so fun.
470-417-414. And when you're looking for items that have sold, you have to go over after you've typed it in and click on show only sold items.
Actually, this didn't sell, Griff. So this was an unsold ended listing.
Ah, okay. So it's completed.
It's completed.
Let's go and look at that then. There. Ooh, look at. Oh, my.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, you know, I know what this stuff is. I used to collect it before I knew it had a name. It's a waji from Japan.
You knew that?
Yes, and I used to collect this stuff while back in Vermont when I could find little bits of it and bobs of it in little stores and antique shops. And the stuff I had was all single colored. But yeah, I love this stuff. It's some of it. This is wild. That's an amazing.
Isn't it?
Oh, that should have sold. That's totally not fair. Oh well, you idiots! Why don't you buy this? Put it back up. I will.
I will for sure. But you know what? It's cracked at the top, but that's okay.
Am I.
Yeah, you're cracked at the top. It's a really cool piece though, but isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
This went from my grandma's antique store. God only knows where she got it. So back in the 70s, she got this and it's gone from there to Palm Desert to Ventura. Oh my gosh, who knows where it'll end up, but it's a really beautiful piece. And I had so much fun researching it.
A waji ware. In fact, I never knew it had a name until recently because I still have a few pieces put in a box somewhere. I should take them out, but it was interesting stuff. You know, some of it's rather mundane, but then there's, you get it, this wild piece like you have with this, the double handles. It's just amazing.
It really is. And the maker's mark, it looks like a book or a scroll. So you guys, if you do look at the listing on the bottom, it'll say made in Japan. And then there's this kind of thing that looks like a book or a scroll.
Oh yeah, I see that. Yeah.
You'll know what to look for. So yeah, I've had so much fun, Griff. I really have.
We love it when you have fun, Lynn.
Oh, and it's been such a nice, just a break, I think, for everybody. I know it's not good and it's terrible for the economy and not good for all the people that are getting sick.
Yeah.
But it's been such a good reset, I think, for a lot of families and a lot of people.
I know a lot of sellers who are trying to source product right now are looking locally for individuals who need to deassess. A lot of folks right now are out of work, whether that's going to be temporary or long-term. People who suddenly find themselves unemployed or are in a need to raise cash. And although we love that we would sell the items on eBay, a really convenient way to earn cash is to look for eBay sellers in your neighborhood who sell regularly on eBay and who'll give you good value if you want to sell them to them. Look up Lynn if you're in the Ventura area, and she's easy to find. She's the queen of auctions. And if you've got something to sell, sell it to Lynn. And that goes for every single person within earshot. If you have something that you want to sell and you need to get rid of it, before you put it up anywhere, consider looking for a local eBay seller who will buy it from you at a good price and then sell it themselves on eBay. Because selling on eBay is a bit of some work, and some folks may not want to do it.
Yeah, that's such great advice. It really is. And you know, you have to remember too that some of my items can take 3, 4, 5 years to sell. So it is a really great idea to go ahead and find those sellers. And you know, they can do it right on eBay. They can search by sellers within their 100
closest miles to me. Yeah.
So that's just a great, great tip.
Lynn, you got any advice for a seller who might be feeling down right now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because with all of this, I've started my Queen's Court calls back up. And one of them said to me, she said, I was so discouraged until you started coming back in and, you know, telling us what's going on with your business. And I think that the momentum for eBay's here. It's back. Jason and Jamie are helping to do that, the unique one of a kind. Amazon is, it's gone down the tubes because they're, you know what? And this is good. They can't ship. I mean, nothing's getting there in 2 days. It's 6 weeks out. And you know what? With eBay, I've taken almost all of my buying that I used to do on Amazon, even for like commodity things like hairspray. I'm buying on eBay because it's guaranteed in 2 to 3 days. So eBay's kicking butt in that sense because we can get this stuff out. And I just think it's shown huge cracks in Amazon. And it's a huge, huge opportunity for all of us eBay sellers.
And I didn't pay you to say any of that.
No, no, no. But I have to say, I love seeing it happen.
So one of the things that is really interesting, all of us have assumed that centralized locations for fulfillment would be the king forever. But then something like this happens that disrupts that chain. And what you end up with is on the eBay end, hundreds and thousands of sellers across the world. That's a real number. Who can fulfill on their own without having to worry about disruption. They can get it to people very quickly. So that's been a big, as you say, it's been a big plus for buyers who need things quick.
Huge, huge bonus for eBay. And it just really shows that eBay's the place because we're making it work. And I just think it's really exciting for eBay.
Lynn, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. We want to check in with you again in another month and see how things are going.
Okay, Griff. Sounds awesome.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Oh, hey, can you tell them to go and sign up for my newsletter?
Oh, we should do that. Of course. Yes. Well, okay. I'll let you do it.
Okay. So I'm started to write a new newsletter. I started in January. They come out once a week. Super fun. eBay scores and tips and tricks. Also about my store in Ventura. It's Lynn's Consignments. Both are plural. Lynn's with an S, consignments with an S.com. And on that page, you can sign up for our newsletter.
And that page is on?
It's right on the front of my website. Or okay. When you go to the website, lynnsconsignments.com, there'll be something that says newsletter.
So lynnsconsignments.com. We'll put that link in the transcript of the podcast so that you can click from it right there if you forget what it was. Pretty easy, but you know how we're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. So I'll put the link in the transcript. Lynn, thanks again.
Awesome.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Griff.
Lynn Drawley has a store in Ventura. She's been selling on eBay for 21 years plus now under the Queen of Auctions. Do check out her website. Well, what a show, Brian. That was a lot of content.
It was a lot of content. Some really, really good stuff. And it was interesting to hear someone like Lynn, who's been a longtime seller, experienced brick and mortar plus online, how she's been adapting.
If there's anything that I love about Lynn, and there's lots of things to love about her, the one thing is she's just not going to be knocked down by any silly pandemic. She's going to find a way to make it work, and she's adapting her business so that she can make it through and really thrive during this period.
You know, it's interesting. It seems like those kinds of attributes with sellers are the sellers that have been successful over the decades. Yeah. They just are tenacious in a way, not in an angry or negative way of tenacious, just tenacious from a business standpoint.
And of course, it's always nice to talk to somebody like Sherry Smith. We really miss Sherry. She was living in the Bay Area and coming to our meetups almost every month. And now she's been in Denver for the last 2 years. It was good to reconnect.
I'm a huge fan of Sherry. She's got such a great energy and really positive, especially given some of the stuff that she's gone through. And I know that she's enjoying herself in the mountain country there in Colorado.
And she's loving managed payments.
She is.
I got my invite this week.
You did. So
I got an invite.
And I've actually been in since 2019. I think it was around August last year I signed up.
I wasn't sure I was going to get an invite, so I planned to open up a online checking account where all that money is going to go to that account for my sales. So I'm going to do that tomorrow, and then I'm going to register right after that's done. So I'll be ready in July to move on over to the brand new way of getting paid.
Back in the day when I created my PayPal account, that was when I created a separate checking account, and I had all of my business at that time run through. So for me, it was a relatively easy transition because I already have all of that stuff pointing to a separate checking account. And there's no need to create it. You don't have to create it. It's just an extra thing if you want to. You can
You can use an existing.
I know lots and lots of sellers who have their PayPal account pointed to their regular account, and all they're going to do is transition it over.
And in managed payment, you'll need a checking account. A savings account won't do. So you have to have a checking account where you can push those funds into. And finally, we don't want to miss acknowledging her first appearance on the show, Andrea Stairs, the head of marketing at eBay, and her extensive definition and explanation about what eBay is doing to drive traffic to the site. I think that was very illuminating.
Great first guest to talk about traffic.
Yeah, and I think so.
I'm looking forward to the entire month and who comes on the shows in the coming month.
And you know, it was fun that you were able to take part in this, you know, Brian.
It was great taking part in this, and our listeners, you too can take part on the eBay for Business podcast. Maybe you have a question or a comment that you would like to share with your fellow sellers. Call us on 888-723-4630.
Yes, call us on the hot cricket line, because that's all I hear when I pick it up. 888-723-4630. And did you know that you could call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week? No, really, you can. You can leave a question or comment. And if it's appropriate, we might just put it on the air. And we're always looking for sellers who would like to be a guest on the show. So there's that too.
Yeah. So who knows? You could be a podcast star in the making. But if you're not a call on the phone person
or a star in the making,
you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
It's time for your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Go visit the eBay community pages every day.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, 94, we'll talk about traffic in Google and how it works on eBay, so don't miss it.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Head of Marketing, Andrea Stairs, Liz Austin, and eBay sellers, Sherry Smith and Lynn Drawley.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.